Thank you so much for listening to the podcast today. And I'm excited about the month of August. All month, we're going to be focusing on the fact that we have 5 months left of this year. I know COVID really messed your year up, but there's still 5 months left. You know, August, September, October, November, December. Five is grace. Come on, somebody. So for the next 5 months, we are going to activate our spirit, our mouth, our mind, because we will see with clarity, 2020 vision, our hopes and dreams become a reality. Don't give the enemy the five remaining months that are left, you know, in this year. Let's get on it. Also, some other exciting news. I've decided that just under the unction of the Holy Spirit that I want to start doing a bonus podcast every week coming up soon. It's probably going to be in September when we launch it, but it'll not be just my weekend sermon, but a bonus, something behind the scenes, maybe interviewing some of my friends. And in particular, the Lord's dealing with me about making a lot of it about your personal finances, talking about my solving your money problem system and all the things that are in there that I can unpack to make sure that 2021, you get started on the right track. So anyway, those are some of the things that are going to be happening on the podcast. Also, I want you to subscribe to this, like this, write a comment about it. Tell your friends about the podcast if you enjoy it. And as always, thank you so much for your financial support. When you give to the ministry, when you support the ministry, it helps us help people around the world.
Well, today we're going to talk about junk in your trunk. Come on, somebody. Come on, you can do better than that, all campuses. It's hot in there, by the way. Junk in your trunk. Anybody ever bought a new car? How many of y'all have smelled a new car? Raise your hand. It's just the new car smell. You can never, ever get that at a car wash. Just go for the pina colada because there's not the new car smell. Anybody ever got a new car and you swore you were never eating in that car? Raise your hand. And that lasted for, what, till the car payment came in, right? And there's a chicken nugget under every car seat in the building. Junk in your trunk. Stuff happens, though. Divorce happens. Betrayal happens. Heartache happens. And because we continue to allow debris to get in our cars, in our lives. And it happens through a lot of times thinking about the wrong things that people do you wrong. Anybody ever been done wrong? Raise your hand, all campuses. Anybody would admit that you've ever done anybody wrong just a little bit? So if we're not cautious, though, is we love a clean car, but we let it all compile, and it piles up, and then just stuff. I've done this with an Uber. They're like, get in, just move some stuff around. I'm like, there's a goat in there. Come on. But all this junk in the car, in your life, affects everything about you. And so today at all campuses, I want to talk to you about getting rid of the junk that's in your car so that you can actually enjoy your life. Because you'd be surprised how many people are not really enjoying their life. Especially during the pandemic when people are really upset right now and they're maxed out and they feel uncomfortable. They feel like, you know, I don't know if my, you know, 2020 is going to turn out right, or, you know, I would never set my life to 2020. I'm here to tell you that a lot of people are winning in 2020. Many people at our church are having supernatural things happen beyond anything possible. Come on, give God praise today. Because they're asking themselves, now, why am I allowing this to happen? Why am I allowing them to steal my joy? Because I don't know about you, but how many of y'all, you've spent many of your Christmases already. You're over 30, you're over 40, you're over 50. How many are just over? Raise your hand, right? So you don't want to allow the enemy to put a bunch of junk in your trunk to cause you to keep you from enjoying your life. And so Psalms 42, verse 11, we're going to go there. It says, why are you down in the dumps, dear soul? It sounds like a blues song. Why are you crying the blues? Fix my eyes on God, and soon you'll be praising again. He puts a smile on our face. If we fix our eyes on all the problems in the world, and we're watching CNN, we're watching Fox News, we got you know, apps on our phone, where we're continually getting all this disruption and chaos, because a lot of times there's an agenda at it, or there's fear at it, or there's ratings at it, there's money at it. There's a reason why a lot of things are happening. But if we fix our eyes on God and we ask ourselves, why are we down in the dumps? Many times we're down in the dumps because we don't think about what we think about. Yeah. Our inner dialogue is affecting everything about us. Our inner life is affecting our outer behavior. When you first saw this beautiful car drive out, I think it was this CJ's car, right? CJ's car. Give it up for CJ. He's over there in the dark today. And CJ's car looked great on the outside, but on the inside, how many of y'all know CJ got a problem? Now we did this. This is planned. But we filled it up with junk, and your life has been filled up with junk. People have hurt you, betrayed you. And some people, it's just the way they are. They're just that way. I don't know if you've heard about the serpent trying to get it over to the other side of the garden with Adam and Eve. There was a lot of thoughts coming. Has God said this? Will this happen this way? God doesn't love you. They were in the Garden of Eden really enjoying their life. Everything was clean, but then the enemy started throwing junk in their trunk. And then now, everything that God had planned was wiped out. And God has this second Adam. Thank God for Jesus. Come on, give it up for Jesus today. Who basically put a big wet vac in our lives, cleaned up the car, cleaned up our life so that the rest of our life could be the best of our life. I want to go to this other scripture in Hebrews 12, verse 14. Key point. It says, strive to live at peace with everybody. Sounds like a hard work. Strive to live at peace with everybody and pursue consecration and holiness. Pursue consecration. Pursue consecration. In other words, you actually, it's a form of consecration to God when you say, God, I'm not going to allow what did happen or what didn't happen to affect my life. I'm going to say, you know, if God be for me, who and what could be against me? I'm going to pass to the positive. I'm not going to focus on the negative. I'm going to make sure that my life never gets to this point. How many of y'all know if there's a stain under this seat, the likelihood of getting it out is very slim because it's probably going to set up because we're probably not going to see it for a long time because there's too much junk in this guy's car. Can I get an amen? Stuff can pile up, thoughts can pile up, and now we're driving down the road and we wonder, why are we down in the dumps? Why do I feel depressed? Why? It's a great question. But many times it's because of what other people have done to you. I have some family members that really belong on Springer. Anybody ever got people like that? For real. People ask me all the time, what about? And they start asking about all these people. I mean, the closest, dearest relatives in my life. Why are there no family members around you? It's just, if you want to see my family, it's really a mess. In fact, it's a testament to me, to the Lord on me, because I should be where they are. But thank God for the word and renewing your mind so you don't go down that path. Can I get an amen? So just because you were born in that system, born in that cycle, some people took the easy way out. You took the quote-unquote hard way out. You strive to live at peace. Put it up there again, Hebrews 12, 14. Strive to live at peace with everybody. It's not easy to live at peace with some people. Some people are just aggravated. And I've got a feeling sometimes the things that are totally blowing up in people's faces right now, it's not about the thing, it's about the deeper thing. They've been under pressure for a long time. Anybody ever done this in traffic? Have you ever pulled over or did something stupid in traffic? Usually you're the best driver in the world, but you have done dumb stuff, and the person totally overreacted to the minor thing that you did. Raise your hand. I don't think it was that you swerved into their lane that ruined their day. I think their day had already been full of junk in their trunk, and their lives was jacked up, and you were just one of the people that they could dump on. So you have to make a consecration to the Lord and say, you know, no matter what, God, I'm going to forgive them. I'm going to walk in love. I'm going to, even though the world is a mess, my life's not going to be a mess. I'm going to be happy. I choose to be happy. Come on, somebody shout hallelujah to this. And I'm going to exercise foresight. Hebrews 12, 15, the next verse goes on to say, exercise foresight, be on the watch to look after one another. See that no one falls back. This is where small groups kick in, and they're kicking in September. This is why church attendance is important. If the enemy can separate you from the herd, you never ever go to the car wash. Your car's never going to get cleaned up. But your life obviously can't get cleaned up until your mind gets cleaned up, and your mind can't get cleaned up till the washing of the water of the word hits your mind, and you renew your mind, because I say it all the time, show me your friends, I'll show you your future. A mind stretch never goes back to its original size. I can tell the level in which your life will go dependent upon the people that you hang around with. If you're always choosing the easy way, you're choosing the griping way, you're choosing the way that everybody's going on, the path that everyone goes on. The path that everyone goes on is probably not the right path. What makes rivers and men crooked is the path of least resistance. But any old dead fish can, you know, just float downstream. But it takes a live one to swim upstream and say, I'm going to think different in 2020. I'm going to set my mind on God. I'm going to enjoy my life. I'm going to keep my mind clean. I'm going to keep my marriage clean. And I'm going to exercise foresight. That's what Jesus said. And look out for one another. Now, as Christians, how many of y'all are Christ followers? Raise your hand, all campuses today. You love Jesus. I know you did because you came to church today. Look out for the people who are easily swayed. I'm surprised so many times of people that are taken advantage of. In fact, every week around 150 to 200 people make fake accounts from me on Instagram to ask people for money. Anybody ever heard of this kind of thing? So people will DM me and or come to church and say, Pastor David, I'm so excited that you were DMing me all week and got this prayer stuff, and I did send that $5,000 to that mission in India, and it's what you wanted me to do. And I'm like, people are gullible. I'm never going to ask you for money online. I will ask you when you come to church. Come on, somebody. But I'm not asking you here. But people are gullible. The scripture said, exercise foresight and look out for one another. During this season of a pandemic, when people are so afraid and their mind hasn't been renewed, they didn't go to faith church. They don't know that you can trust in the Lord with all your heart. They don't know that God works all things together for the good. They don't know the scripture, 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. They don't know, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or a seed out begging for bread. They don't know, with long life I'll satisfy you and show your salvation. They don't know, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from all their diseases. They don't know that, so they're afraid. So we need to come alongside people and say, hey, let me get the junk out of the trunk and help you understand God is for you. He's fighting for you, and don't let him steal another day of your life. Come on, somebody shout amen. Because some people enjoy that kind of thing. They just enjoy trouble. Again, back to my family members. I have an uncle. There's many Sunset Hills Police Department here today, but way before Sunset Hills Police Department knew who I was, I just grew up in Sunset Hills. And my uncle was driving down the road one day, and my brother was driving, and all of a sudden he looked at me and said, hey, watch this, because he saw a cop. And so he takes this bag out of the car, and he chucks it out of the car just to get my brother pulled over. Sunset Hills pulled him over. My brother's sitting there, and my uncle immediately starts talking. The guy said, man, you guys saw me. I know you threw that out there. And my uncle goes, man, I didn't throw that out there. The wind, I had moved stuff around, and the wind grabbed it and went outside, and he made up this incredible story, and it was so believable. And then the cop was so nice, he ended up letting us go. And my uncle looked and said, I like to do that sometimes just to practice my skill. Very evil guy. Come on, somebody ought to go with me on this. It's unreal. Now, when I think of my uncle, he grew in that training and it became a criminal and became a bad person and did a lot of damage to people's lives. It's just the way he is. So sometimes, even today, I thought about preaching about my uncle and I had a million stories that I could have told, but I was thinking about him. I was thinking about that. And I, even though I forgive him and I let the bitterness go, there's still a seed there where I think, you know, how in the world is that guy still alive and my dad's dead? Truly the good guy young. I don't understand this, right? But again, I'm thinking about the wrong stuff. I'm talking real right now. This is organic preaching. This is non-genetically modified preaching right now. These are thoughts that come to my head, and I want to deal with people, or I want to think about what they did wrong. Can you raise your hands, even online? Raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about right now. Not everybody, but a lot. How many of y'all know people that are interesting? That would be a good word. I love the word interesting because it puts you neutral, right? That's interesting. It doesn't mean you agree or disagree. That's interesting. But what's happening is all that junk, thinking about my uncles, thinking about my family, sometimes I can drive down the road in the car alone, and I start thinking about stuff they did. And I feel my blood pressure change. I feel my thought process change. And watch this. I feel joy leave me. Shoo! Joy just went out the window like the bag of trash. Shoo! Anybody ever felt your joy just leave right there? That's the fruit of the Spirit. I'm teaching it right now. This is the stuff we teach at church. The fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22-23, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. If your love's gone and your joy is gone and your peace is gone, chances are people are throwing junk in your trunk. It might not even be the people now. It might be the bad things that the people did, and now the devil is bringing them back. Wait a minute. You believe in the devil? I don't believe in the devil. The devil told you that, stupid. He's real. If I was the devil, I would try to convince you that I wasn't real too. Somebody help me right now. But the devil will get in the car with you and say, I just want to ride. The devil never just wants a ride. He wants to confuse you. He wants to steal your joy. He wants to contaminate your soul. He wants to put a bunch of junk in your trunk. Next thing you know, he'll be driving and you'll be in the trunk like I do. Come on, somebody ought to give God praise today. Come on, Florida. So Ephesians 4:31, here's the survey says, let all bitterness and indignation, wrath, passion, rage, bad temper, resentment, anger, animosity, quarreling, clamor, contention, and slander, and evil speaking, abusive or blasphemous language be banished from you. That's a whole list of stuff. Bitterness. You can't get better and still be bitter. Well, I'm still going to hold this grudge because ain't no man going to do me wrong again. Do me wrong, you know, what, the first time? You know, it's your fault. Do me wrong the second time? It's my fault. So I'm telling you right now, ain't nobody going to do that to me again. It's no way to live. Every week people say the meanest things to me in the hallway. I sometimes go, man, I don't even know if I want to go to the hallway because people say some really stupid stuff. Getting quiet in here. But I say, wait a minute, I want to go to the hall and see people because the good outweighs the bad. But if my soul isn't good, then if one more person comes up to me and says, I don't like it that you wear skinny jeans, and I don't think that you ought to wear a jean jacket and I think you should wear a suit. Then the next week I wear a suit and people come up and say, I wish you would be normal again. Who are you trying to be, Joel Osteen? I'm like, doggone it. You can't make everybody happy. You got to make God happy, and you got to be happy. But if you ain't happy, ain't nobody going to be happy. And the lie that if mama ain't happy, nobody's going to be happy. Mama might be premenopausal and may never be. Somebody ought to help me. She may never be happy again a day in her life. But you got to choose joy today and enjoy your life. Come on, give God praise today. Verse 32. After you get rid of bitterness, become useful and helpful. Look at your neighbor and say, become useful and helpful. And here's a kicker. You don't see this in America right now. Be kind one to another. Tenderhearted. Compassionate. Understanding. Loving. Forgiving one another. Just forgive. People do you wrong in traffic, just forgive them. Don't shoot them. Somebody does you wrong, turn the other cheek and go, you know what? I forgive you. And then they might do it again. And you got to go, oh my gosh, you're really pushing me. You go, wait a minute. If my heart is right with the Lord, if I'm right with Jesus, if I'm listening to worship music, if I have a tender heart, what people need is love right now. We don't need any more judgment. We don't need any more news. How many of y'all pretty sure you're caught up on what's going on? I think I got a thing called the COVID. The Corona, the big bad motor scooter, that one, you're aware. Okay, so if we're aware of what's going on, now we got to say, I got to get Corona out. I got to get trepidation out. I got to get malice out. I got to get bitterness out, because how in the world am I going to love people like Jesus loved me if I don't even like me? And you won't like you if you don't figure out who you are. That's why you come to church and we sing songs. I know who I am. I know who I am, right? I am favored. I am chosen. We're always programming you with these songs because the enemy's saying, you're no good, you're no good, you're no good. David, you're no good. And you're saying, man, I'm too fat, I'm too short, I'm too tall, I'm too skinny, I'm too... Nobody in here is just right. Nobody thinks they're absolutely perfect. So look, nobody's perfect. So understand that Jesus is perfect and he liked you and he loved you and he gave himself for you. Come on, somebody help me right now. So make yourself useful and just be nice to people. Shock the world and be nice. Would it freak people out if you're just nice? Especially with the mask. I got another mask story. I told you one last week. Got a new one. Mask stories happen every day with me. So I have my mask on, but I don't have it on right, apparently, according to this person. So when I walk in, I've got it on, but I don't have it form-fitted, like really sucked up around my nose. And this woman goes crazy in Florida. my God, don't you know how to wear one of those? And I'm like, I want to say a lot of stuff. But I said, I'm not sure I'm new to this whole thing. That diffused her. And then I kind of laughed like that. I was mad. It was a fake laugh. I'm new. I'm new to this whole thing. I'm not sure. And then she said, I can help you. Okay. So then she comes over closer. She was worried. I want to say 6 feet. She comes over, starts pushing it on my nose. And I said, thank you. And she walked away like, you know. And I could feel inside me the Lord go, good job. Good job. Come on, good job. I'm proud of you. And I thought, I'm going to use that in my sermon. That's going to make me look good. 1 Peter 5:5. By the way, you need to come to church. If you were the lady that did this, it is me without my mask on. You did good, and the church loves you. Come on, give it up for the mask lady. Everybody, come out to church in Palm Beach County, Royal Palm Beach. 1 Peter 5:5 says, likewise, you are younger and lesser rank. Be subject to the elders, ministers, or spiritual guides of the church, giving due respect, yielding to their counsel, all of you with humility. Man, I could preach all night long here, all day long, Sunday morning. Spiritual guides, pastors. The enemy right now, and I can feel it when I'm preaching, people throw me in because everybody's so opinionated now. When I'm preaching and I'm preaching the word, immediately people go, don't agree, do agree, don't agree. My whole sermon has never been like this before in the history of preaching, to where people kind of trusted me as their pastor. And the Bible said, you know them by the fruits, and so you see all the buildings and see all the ministry fruit and everything that's going on. Some people trusted me. But while I'm preaching, I can feel like you're watching the news a lot of times, like, I don't think I agree with that. I said last night, like, America's the greatest country in the whole wide world. And the people's like, I'm not sure if I agree with that. I swear to God, it's really happened. And I was like, okay, I'm going to have to put my foot down and go, guys, travel other places in the world. Even though you think it's bad, it's still really great. And my dad almost died for this. Somebody ought to help me right now. And all the men and women that died, we still live in the greatest country of the whole wide world. It's not an opinion. And if you don't like it, leave. Somebody ought to say, man, it's still great. Now, again, I can still feel it like, I think that was political. Don't talk about politics and church. What about the separation of church and state? Study that out. It was actually keep the state out of the church, not the church out of the state. But anyway, it's still a big deal. I felt junk in my truck. I'm going to get that out of there real quick. Humility. Everybody shout humility. Now, verse 7, you all know this. This is the same chapter. Verse 7 kicks in. It says, casting the whole of your care, all of your anxieties and worries and concerns upon him once and for all, for he cares for you. Verse 8. Be well-balanced, temperate, sober-minded. Be vigilant. Vigilant. That's a strong word. Be vigilant because the devil roams like, not he is, like a roaring lion. He's pretending. Like a roaring lion in fierce hunger to someone to seize upon and devour. So before I opened this car door up, it appeared that everything looked good on the outside. But when we opened up, we had a lot of junk in the trunk, a lot of debris. So people go to church and they go, praise the Lord, God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. They look good on the outside, but on the inside, the Bible says they're full of dead men bones. In other words, they were just arguing, wanted to stab their husband in the throat with a fork before they came in. And it's like, and that's normal. It's normal to want to kill your husband occasionally. If the flesh But the spirit saves you from jail time. So your spirit says, so your body's telling me yes, but my spirit's telling me no. Because the enemy's coming like a roaring lion, trying to put stuff in your mind to get you to think that your husband's bad. And really, your husband's not bad. He's male. And that's a whole nother subject, but guys were made out of the dirt. The Bible says he made man out of the dirt. He's dirty. It said that he looked at man and thought, I know I can do better. And then he formed woman. Come on, somebody. He formed woman. So that's why you're like, I just like it all perfect. And he's like, I don't care. Okay? See what I'm saying? This will help you. Now you'll realize you married a man. And the devil's trying to demonize the man when in reality, we need to love the man, because if we love the man and we try to treat him right, then if you treat him really good, how many of y'all know sometimes women had a profound effect on guys? I've seen a lot of guys get galvation just because of the love that the wife had for him. All right. Now, I want to go to this scripture in Proverbs 18, verse 21. Let's go there online. Watch this. It says, words kill and words give life. They either poison our fruit, you choose. Words, words. Sticks and stones may break my bones, shout at class, but how many of y'all know that is an erroneous statement? How many of you have ever been hurt by words? How many have thought of words that somebody said to you that hurt you a long time ago? My dad, who I love, who's buried out here at Jefferson Barracks Cemetery. He's a great man, but he said things to me over the years that hurt me, that diminished me, that tried to, and part of it, if I studied it out like I have over the years, I found out that my dad was insecure. And so he was very insecure, so he would try to beat me down because he loved me and he didn't want me to go anywhere because he had a little church of 180 people and I led his worship and I was his pilot and I did everything for him and I was in his world. So he thought if he would ever become successful and he didn't see me as, you know, the big guy, then he would go do his own thing. He could actually see who and what I would be later in life. But he said things that were diminishing and it really, he didn't even believe those things. But the enemy will bring that back and say, remember when your dad said this? And remember when your dad said that? And remember when your dad? And I have to say, wait a minute. That wasn't my dad speaking. That was the insecurities of my dad. And now my father, come on, has put words of life in me. And I became the very thing my biological dad thought I would be. And he was afraid that I would be it. So he's trying to squash me down. And some of you say, man, you believe that lie? No, I'm just telling you, you got to work out your own salvation. And the Holy Spirit is the best psychiatrist. And he will do for you way more than Dr. Phil could ever do for you, speaking to your recreated human spirit, giving you words of knowledge, and you have to guard your heart if you're going to live in peace. Alone, I'm preaching good today. Isaiah 26, verse 3. You will guard him, God will. You will guard him. You got armed guards. You will guard him and keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is consistently stayed upon God. In other words, if you allow your mind to wander and you think about all those bad things they did to you, God can never bring that other person into your life because of all the pain in your past. So if you got all the pain in your past, it'll keep you back. And we put stupid stuff in there. I think I'm a pilot, and one of my buddies, Mike Clerico, is a great friend of mine. His daughter can get him to do anything. She wanted a zebra, and there was a baby zebra in Texas, and so he flew from Sullivan, Missouri, I think they have a picture of it, and went and put a baby zebra, that still looks pretty big to me, come on somebody, a zebra in the back of your airplane. That's not a horse, people, that is a zebra. That's not a painted white horse, a real zebra. You'd be surprised what people you love can con you into putting in the back of your trunk. They'll try to put stuff that is a secondhand offense. And these people never did you wrong, but because they did your mama wrong or they did your kids wrong, then all of a sudden now you have the secondhand offense. And Jesus said, it is impossible that offenses come. But he said, woe unto whom they come. So if somebody puts some junk in your trunk, you got to go, I don't know if I really want all that in my trunk. I'm going to let it go. Let it go. Let it go. I'm not going to think about that no more. Let her go. Come on, somebody. Let her go. You are in charge of you. You're in charge of your mind. No, my wife is. No, you are. No, my husband is. No, you are. My dad is. No, you are. You control your thoughts and you control your mind. So don't allow the news media in their attempts to scare the heck out of everybody to keep you fearful and afraid. Trust God. Enjoy your life. I don't know how many days you got left, but enjoy these days right here, right now. Come on, give Him praise today. It's good. Psalms 94, verse 19. We're getting close to done. In the multitude of my anxious thoughts within me, where's the anxious thoughts? Within me. Come on, at home. Where are they at?
In me.
You comfort and cheer and delight my soul. Anxious thoughts within me. There's something going on. I'm talking to people right now in Palm Beach County. I'm talking to people in St. Louis County. There's something going on within you. There's a war going on. And the war is, you want a better life, you want to enjoy your life, but then you've got all these anxious thoughts about what could have happened, what should have happened, what I thought was going to, it just didn't work out the way I planned. Hardly anything's ever going to work out the way you planned. But you got to just work the plan. So when you're dealt this hand, you go, okay, what's the best thing I can do with this? I didn't plan on getting divorced. I didn't plan on meeting Nicole through some person who introduced me. I just went out to a little function and I met her. I didn't know that 23 years later, I would be the father of a 7-year-old son that I quote unquote adopted, but not really, who is more my son than my son. I didn't realize that he would marry a girl from LSU and have this beautiful grandbaby. I don't even know. I've just seen ultrasounds, but I already love the kid. I'm telling you, it might not have turned out, but it might not be turned out yet. So just enjoy your life. Get rid of the bitterness and realize that none of this took God by surprise, and He can work all things together for your good, and He did it for me, and He'll do it for you. Somebody ought to shout amen. That's the glorious good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Come on, I'll give you 5 seconds of praise. How many ever been surprised? Surprise! Oh yeah, I'm surprised. Very surprised. Might look impossible right now to think, how in the world could God change this around for my good? Now, as I close, listen, it's very important while you're watching too, in Palm Beach County or St. Louis County, that you get to church. The enemy is trying, trust me, the enemy is trying to keep you out of church because it's the very place that your car gets cleaned up. It's the place that it gets vacuumed out. It's the place where you get your wheels realigned. It's where you actually have the vehicle ready to go into 21, 22, 23, 24, 25. This is not the end of the world. It's the end of the world as we know it. No, it's not. This is not the end of the world as we know it. This is the beginning of the greatest year of your life. And even though some preachers are even telling you, some preachers are saying, I'm so surprised at these guys right now who are on there going, none of us saw this happening. I don't know what's going on. The end of the world. I was like, dude, are you? Apparently he was not smoking what he was selling. I'm telling you, I have been smoking what I'm rolling. I believe that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I believe that he said in the last days that perilous times would come, troubled times would come. Time's hard to deal with it, but he said, see to it. Somebody ought to say, see to it that your heart be not troubled. That's why the car has wipers. When it's raining hard, you just turn them on and say, I walk by faith and not by sight. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. Come on, somebody praise him today. Get to church. Go to church. Go to church. Go to church. When the roller coaster series starts in a few weeks, we'll be adding the second one back here as well. Last thing I want to say before we go is getting really real with you. The bigger your life becomes, the greater influence you have. The more pressure you have on you, the more conscious you have to be about what you think. Every day, the craziest, dumbest, asinine things happen to me. You can't even, if I told you, even today, if I told you all the stuff that came before I climbed in that trunk to come out here, my mind was being tormented and challenged and problems and mishaps and issues. And so I had to develop over the years, A tolerance, I want you to write this down, a tolerance for pain. The level of your tolerance for pain determines the level of your leadership lid. So, in other words, my daddy I can't owe money. Oh, so God could only raise him up so big. So he had a church of 200 people. So we have a church of 20,000 people. So it's 20,000 times the problem. Plus online and around the world, we have people and places and spaces and issues and challenges. And I have to prioritize my mind and go, David Crank, here's what you're going to do today. You are going to get your mind right. So sometimes I'll drop down to the back and do a bunch of push-ups. Or I'll jump back. I was running in place when they come off the stage. I was running in place. Because if I get my heart rate up, then I come out here and I'm like, hey, good morning. You wouldn't believe what a heck of a morning I had today. Oh, Lord, started out, couldn't even find anything but decaf coffee. How many of y'all know that'll screw your day up right away? And then, no. Pump yourself up and get ready, because sometimes even before you go home, clean out your trunk. Sit in a parking lot 5 minutes before you go home. Don't bring all this crap home to your family. Clean your car out and then go and say, Daddy's home. Come on, somebody. We're going to have a good time. You might have been crying 10 minutes ago, but come in bold as a lion and get your mind right. You're called for this. Somebody ought to shout amen. You're equipped for this. You can handle this. I prophesy to you right now. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The world's not over. It's just beginning. Hey, I don't know if you know this or not, but Jesus is coming back, and he's coming back for a glorious, spotless, wonderful church. Give him praise in the house today. Come on, give him praise. Y'all stand up with me. I want the words. That's what I was asking for. I want you to stand up with me right now. I want you to close your eyes all over the building in Florida and everywhere. And I want you to take your right hand and put it over your heart right now. And I want you to say this with me loud and strong. Say, Father, I ask you to forgive me for all the junk that is in my trunk. As an act of my own will, I decree and I declare that I am free from malice, rage, anger, bad feelings, emotionalism, temper tantrums. I'm going to enjoy my life. I'm free. In the name of Jesus, I give you praise and I give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, sing it, church. Thank you so much for listening today. I always am grateful that you take time to also share this with other people, to write a comment about this. It really makes a difference when you actually, you know, make some noise about it, especially since we only have 5 months left in this year. The good news is five means grace. The entire month of August, we have 5 months left to actually have the grace of God manifest in our life. Don't allow the enemy to take you back and say, man, COVID stopped you. Don't set your, you know, the Back to the Future card in 2020, whatever you do. Or people have t-shirts, I survived 2020. No, you're going to thrive in 2020. It's your year, believe it or not. God can do more in 5 months than you could do in 5 years. So keep the switch of faith turned on. Also, some other news is we're going to start a podcast probably in September, an additional bonus podcast throughout the week. That'll be some interviews with some of my friends and people that'll bring leadership clues to you, as well as God's dealing with me about solving your money problems, kind of breaking down in a Dave Ramsey style that's in my system how you can get ahead financially and set yourself up to win and succeed in 2020. So at any rate, that's going to be happening. So be looking for that bonus podcast every week. And again, many of you ask, how can I support the ministry? Well, it's pretty easy to do it. You can text to give just on your phone right now. You could get out your phone and text 77977. Then keyword, you text the word faith, F-A-I-T-H. So 77977, faith, O-N-L for online. Then a space and then the dollar amount. So again, if you want to keep this ministry strong, you want to help us bless more people, we'd love it. We'd appreciate it. Again, you text 77977 to faith, O-N-L, space, and the dollar amount. Hope to see you again here on the podcast real soon.